And I bring to these microphones David James. We have a weekly conversation, David and myself, for the purpose of discussing an issue that is confronting the body of Christ, Christians, not only here in America, but around the world as well. And we want you to eavesdrop on these conversations so you can come to a better understanding biblically as to how we deal with these issues. So today, we're going to get into a discussion that I think is very important. David, for the last couple of months, one of the hottest news items has been a topic that we have not yet covered, but it continues to garner headlines, and this is concerning the so-called transgender bathroom law in North Carolina. Now, most of our listeners are probably well aware of this story, but it might be helpful if you'll take a moment and give a quick overview of what this law is and why it has caused so much controversy.
Well, it actually goes back to February. The Charlotte, North Carolina City Council passed an ordinance. It was a non-discrimination ordinance, and it prohibited discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, which means whatever somebody considers themselves in terms of sex. And this had to do with public accommodations in the city. And so about a month later, the North Carolina House of Representatives held a special session that was on March 23rd and passed what's known as House Bill 2 or HB 2 to actually counteract the Charlotte City ordinance. And then just a little later on that same day, the state Senate also passed the bill. And so the ordinance for the city was supposed to take effect on April 1st, about a week ahead of that, with this House bill being passed that basically put a stop to that. So what we've been hearing and dealing with is the fallout from that since then. Basically, the idea is that the North Carolina bill says that you have to go into a bathroom that corresponds with the sex as identified on your birth certificate.
A major fallout as far as what the legislature had to do when they passed this law. Huge reaction coming against it by the business sector and the entertainment industry. Is that not correct, David?
That's absolutely right. There were movements by people, producers and directors in the film industry, some canceled projects. This had to do with television shows and movies. Also, there were a number of people who canceled concerts like Bruce Springsteen, and there's a whole list of others that did so. And even in the sports area, the NBA and the NCAA and also even ESPN, the X Games, they spoke out against this law and even made some noises about and questioned whether they were going to hold future events in North Carolina because of this. So it's been in the national focus since this happened.
Then less than a month ago, the federal government stepped in and things really heated up even more, didn't they?
Well, that's right. Back on May 9th, the Department of Justice under the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, they filed a lawsuit against the governor, that's Governor McCrory of North Carolina. They were trying to put a stop to the enforcement of this law. And so the federal government quickly jumped in. So it went from being a city issue to a state issue to now a federal issue.
And a few days after the lawsuit by the Justice Department, the Obama administration took another step, action that has caused an uproar as well.
Well, that's true, and I guess given a lot of things that we've seen, it wasn't surprising that he would do that, but the Obama administration issued guidance just a few days after the lawsuit was leveled against Governor McCrory, and it directed public schools nationwide to allow transgender students to use bathrooms matching their gender identity. And again, we need to understand, this is what people claim about themselves. It has nothing to do with biology, medicine, their birth certificates, what they simply claim. And even though these guidelines that were set out by the Obama administration do not carry the force of law, one of the things that they were worried about was because of the wording and because of this pressure, the states and schools involved, the public schools were concerned that if they did not comply with these guidelines, that they would lose federal funding. And that's a huge issue.
David, haven't a number of states filed a lawsuit in response to this new federal guidance as well?
Well, that's right. Just a couple of weeks ago, there were 11 states filed a lawsuit, and they challenged the Obama administration over this federal guidance. This is not anywhere near resolution. We still don't know how this is going to come down, but the implications are significant across the board.
Well, then I've got to ask, how have churches and religious organizations reacted to all of this?
Well, this is, I guess, from my perspective, this is one of the distressing issues. I guess maybe not unexpected, but there are a number of churches. For example, one branch of the Presbyterian Church has spoken out against this law. There have been, even the Catholic Church has spoken out against it, a number of groups, Lutheran groups, even one Baptist group I saw, and also I saw that there were over 40 rabbis who signed something in protest against the law. So, you know, this is a problem that we're facing. It's not just a civil issue. It's not just a cultural issue. It's a religious issue, but more importantly, it's a spiritual issue. And Christians are dropping the ball on this. Even those who name the name of Christ, whether they're born again or not, those who claim the name of Christ are aligning on the wrong side of this issue.
David, I saw a couple of days ago on Fox News an interview with the director of the ACLU in Georgia, who actually stepped down from her position because of something that happened to her daughters related to this.
Well, that's right. She was a lady who was an interim director in Georgia, and this is of the ACLU, and this is important because the ACLU has been directly involved with this issue in North Carolina, so both at the state and the national level. And what happened was her daughters were in a women's bathroom, and there were three men who were transgender or cross-dressing or however you want to put it. So these guys, you know, 6 foot tall guys, deep voices, they just traumatized her daughters who were in there as they should have been and appropriately. And she resigned her position because she said, from this personal experience, she said she could no longer stand with the ACLU. So this is a huge statement. And it's not that this woman has become an overnight conservative, but from this practical standpoint, she realizes that what's going on here.
Well, of course, this certainly does highlight the danger surrounding these bathroom wars. There's a lot at stake here, isn't there?
Well, it is. It is absurd because it makes no logical sense. It makes no spiritual, biblical sense. It makes no medical sense. There's no scientific basis here. Plus, the concern is, on the one side, there is the problem with those who would potentially be perverts, guys, men who are stalking young girls, even perhaps for the purpose of kidnapping them or whatever, who would claim to be transgender, but they really aren't, so they would be disguising. So that's one very, very serious issue. And then another serious issue is that even those who really do believe and claim to be transgender, there are all kinds of spiritual problems related to these sexual problems that these people have and the way they think about things. They're going to be, there's a certain amount of predation that goes on there because you groom people to join in with your lifestyle.
David, how would you respond biblically to the transgender issue as well as the question of same-sex attraction?
Well, we understand this, that in the very beginning that God created man and woman, and that there was to be one man and one woman together for life, and that was considered a marriage, and that's considered a family, and Jesus himself referred to that and quoted that passage in Genesis 2. The issue of being transgender is, as I mentioned earlier, it's not a medical issue. The DNA, the genetic material in every person is corresponds to one or the other sexual identity. So it's not a scientific issue. It's a matter of feelings. And the same is true of same-sex attraction. You know, we have all kinds of feelings that are influenced by our sin nature, and the temptation comes when our feelings influence us to do things that we would like to do, but are not helpful and could be sinful. You know, sometimes we're attracted to the idea of lying if we don't want to get caught in a certain situation. We may be attracted to the idea of stealing something. We may be attracted to someone of the opposite sex, but outside of our marriage. These attractions and these feelings have to be governed and guided by the Word of God.
You know, that's all the bad news, folks, but here's some good news. David, we know that the Word of God offers hope to those who are caught up, even trapped, in sinful lifestyles, don't we?
Yes, we do. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul was dealing with some really serious issues in the church there. And there were people who had come out of seriously pagan and sinful lifestyles. And in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, we read this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But then the next verse 11 says this, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That is tremendous hope.
Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go to that scripture and take God at His word. It's a promise that cannot be broken. David James having a conversation with me as usual. Weekly, we do it. A very important issue this time, transgender bathroom law, same-sex issues, etc. You might want to re-listen to this. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. Go to PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network. You can re-listen to this conversation and tell a friend they need to hear it as well. David, thank you so much for researching the issue. Great information you gave us. Appreciate it. We'll have another conversation next week.
Great to be with you again, Jimmy.
We're going to take a break, and after this break, I'm going to take a look at the book. We'll pull everything together we've talked about and help you understand biblically how these issues are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.